was torn as to exactly how to go about this when you have a whole list of things, I guess you could say, a lot of different things. They don't really fit together in categories other than the fact that these are things for us to do daily. So I thought about the passage in Peter where he explains to us that we should add to our virtue knowledge and to our knowledge add to. And so I thought, well, that might be a good way for us to do this, because it would seem rather overwhelming to say, well, tomorrow I'm going to start doing 25 different things. That's a pretty big task. But I thought, what if we try, if we just try to add one new thing each day? A lot of these things that are on this list that we're looking at that the young men handed to you, a lot of them are not things that take a lot of time. So you look at that list and you say, wow, where would I have time to do all those things? Well, a lot of these things will take less than a minute. I mean, just even a few seconds. Because some of them are just things to think about. Some of them are things that you're already doing, hopefully. Some of them are things that you will want to do throughout the day as a pattern of behavior and not necessarily a one-time thing like a checklist. Okay, I did that today, now I can quit. So, as I said, there are a lot of different categories here in this. But one of the things that we have to keep in mind when we think about our daily Christian lives, and we titled this lesson, Daily Christianity. If we're thinking about being Christians day to day, day after day, each day, one of the things that we need to keep in mind is that if we keep busy doing the things that the Bible is teaching us to do, just the things that it says do daily, this isn't even scratching the surface of all the things that the Bible teaches us to do, but these are just the things where it says these are things to do daily. We're going to be so busy that we won't have time to get into trouble. We won't have time to get into bossing everybody else and telling them what they ought to be doing. We won't have time to be criticizing and griping at everybody else about what they're not doing, because we're going to be too busy doing what we're supposed to be doing. And I think that's part of the idea. God intended our Christianity to be self-focused. Yes, we're to reach out to others. Yes, if a brother sins against us, we're supposed to go to him. Yes, if we see that there's a brother or sister in sin, we go to correct them. But that's not our focus. Our focus is on, what do I do with myself? Now, as soon as I get myself straightened out, then I'll have all the time in the world to get everybody else straight. And if I ever get to that point, you'll be the first to know. But until that point, I got to focus on me. You got to focus on you. And we got to quit spending so much time judging each other. But instead, focus on those things that we have to do. And I know you look at this list, you go, well, that's a ton of stuff. How are we going to get through that? We're not going to. One thing, I notice it's not fill in the blank. I gave it to you because I want you to have it. I want to make sure you don't miss some. And you notice the first one is dated with tomorrow's date, January 5th. So you can start tomorrow. I'll give you the rest of the evening off. You don't have to do anything else extra today. But look at some of these things, and I didn't put them in any particular order. I thought about trying to put them in order of most important to least important, but you ever tried to do that with things from the Bible? Have you ever tried to? So here's a bunch of commands of God. Now, which one's more important than the other one? That's really hard to do. I know Jesus said the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God, and the second's like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. After that, it's kind of hard to figure out where they come in that line. So here's an idea for tomorrow. I mean, just one of the things that we should do every day as Christians is remember Christ's sacrifice. And you notice, if you start doing these, start one tomorrow, and then don't leave that one off the next day. You keep doing that. So this first one, remember Christ's sacrifice. And that's not something that takes a long time. I mean, it's not like you have to sit all day long and think about the cross. But just don't let it get to the point where you've gone through a whole day and didn't think about the cross at all. Didn't think about Christ's sacrifice. That is the reason we're here. We talked about this morning, we talked about the wrath of God. That His sacrifice is the reason that we're not suffering the wrath of God. So that's something we need to keep in mind. And I know you look at that, you say, Numbers 4:16, what on earth What does that have to do with Christ's sacrifice? Well, Numbers 4:16 says, "And to the office of Eleazar the son of Aaron, the priest, pertaineth the oil for the light, and the sweet incense, and the daily meat offering, and the anointing oil, and the oversight of all the tabernacle, and of all that therein is, in the sanctuary and in the vessels thereof." I want us to focus on that, and the daily offering, the daily meat offering, the daily burnt sacrifice. Remember that under the Old Testament law, they couldn't forget. Because every day they had to get up and kill an animal and pour out its blood and burn it on an altar. You're not going to forget if you're doing that. But sometimes because of the fact that we don't crucify Christ again, it's not something that happens every day. Sometimes we have a tendency to let that slip and we forget about it. But we need to make that a memorable occasion. I know that on the first day of the week we come together and we memorialize it with the bread and the fruit of the vine. But that doesn't mean that we should only think about His death and His sacrifice for us on the first day of the week. That should be something that we constantly keep in our memory, day in and day out. So that's the first thing, is remember Christ's sacrifice. Now, then, so if we start that tomorrow, and hopefully we already do that. Hopefully we do think about Christ's sacrifice for us. Oh, and I know that sometimes there may be a day that goes by that we don't think about it. Let's focus on that. Let's remember that sacrifice. So be sure tomorrow. You don't have to think about it all day long. But just be sure that you don't forget about it. And then on Tuesday, be sure you think about it again. And then on Tuesday, in addition to thinking about Christ's sacrifice and remembering it, work on ignoring troublemakers. Esther 3:4, "Now it came to pass when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew." Mordecai would not bow down and worship Haman the way Haman wanted him to. And so all the other people who did bow down to Haman started badgering him about it every day. "Hank, how come you didn't bow down? How come we're supposed to bow down to him? How come you're not bowing down to him?" That sound like anybody you know in your life that bothers you? They gripe at you about something. And notice it says, because he had told them he was a Jew. He told them, the reason I'm not going to worship him is because he's a man and I worship God. I'm not going to worship him. And sometimes we get that idea in our head that just because other people are telling us we ought to do something, we ought to do it. When we tell somebody we're a Christian, they're going to start getting at everything under the sun that they can imagine. So we've got to learn to ignore them, just like Mordecai ignored them. He didn't listen to them. He hearkened not unto them. He just ignored them. Now, I know that we've been taught from the time we were children that it's rude to ignore people. But there are sometimes you need to ignore people. It's not always rude. Sometimes it will save you to ignore some people. We cannot deal with every nagging complaint that people out there may have toward us. Then on the third day, January 7th, let's add another one to it. Now, see, hopefully you're already doing a pretty good job of ignoring those troublemakers. But just keep on. Be sure every day you do it. Don't slip up. Don't let them get under your skin. And then add to that, you're going to have to deal with oppressors. Now, that may not happen every day. Hopefully it won't. But for some people, sometimes it does. There's somebody that comes and wants to fight against them. Notice what David says in Psalms 56, verses 1 and 2. This was when the Philistines took him in Gath. He says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High." We're going to have, now I know the Bible tells us we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we are fighting a spiritual battle. And we're going to have some fights. Maybe there may be some days that we don't have bad fights. Maybe a day goes by where the devil kind of leaves us alone. But those days are kind of few and far between. Most of the days the devil's going to be sending somebody to try to get us, and he's going to be doing his best to oppress us and to fight against us and try to swallow us up. And so we need to be prepared for that. We need to be ready to deal with that. We need to stand firm. Then, on Thursday, the 8th, let's add to that, keep your promises. Well, certainly we ought to be people of our word anyway. The Bible says, let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. The Psalm 61 and verse 8, the psalmist says, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Have you told somebody you're going to do something? Here's a common one. I'll pray for you. Do we do it? Somebody says, pray for me. Okay, I'll pray for you. Do we pray for them? We told them we would. And we said, well, I prayed for them once. Now, you know good and well they didn't just mean pray for them one time. They want you to keep praying for them. So somebody says, pray for me. Now, if you need to have a list of the people you've told, I'll pray for you, you'll keep your list. But we need to be doing those things that we've told people that we'll do. And I know sometimes it can get to be a lot. But some of those things, like I said, they don't take a lot of time. If I've told somebody I'll pray for them, I don't have to pray a 30-minute long prayer on their behalf. I do it while I'm driving to the store or to the bank or somewhere and just say, oh, Lord, remember sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so that was struggling with this and help them. I don't have to have a whole 30-minute long prayer. It just takes a little mention and a lot of other things. If you find yourself in a position where you have made so many promises to so many people that you can't keep them all, then the problem is you've made too many promises. You've got to cut back. Sometimes you have to say no. And now something like that where I'll pray for you, you know, that doesn't take but 5 seconds. You'd have to promise the whole world just about that you'd pray for them to run out of time to do that. But you know, when I promise somebody, oh, well, I'll come and do this for you, or I'll, you know, if I started promising all the ladies, all the single ladies in the country, I'll come rake your leaves. Or I'll come mow your yard. Well, before long, I'd run out of time. Because I can only rake so many leaves in a day or in a week or, you know, whatever. I can only mow so many. So we have to limit ourselves, don't we? We have to tell them, we say, okay, I know that I'm going to have this much time available, and I can't promise 20 different people to have that same time. Because that just won't work. But we need to keep our promises. When we said we're going to do something, we need to be people of our word. And we know that you know, we're not going to be perfect. There's going to be a time where we told somebody we'd do something and something else came up that was more urgent. You know, Millie told me when I left her house New Year's morning, she said, well, we'll see you Sunday. Well, I know good and well she fully intended to see us here today. But sometimes there's something happens, and you know, we can't, well, that person didn't keep their promise. You know, be ridiculous. But when we possibly can, we need to do those things that we've said we'd do. And then the next thing we see is receive God's blessings. You know, that will not be very hard. God sends us blessings every day, but when we say receive them, it doesn't mean you just get them, because we get them. You know, the sunshine and the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Whether you appreciate it or not, you get it. But by receiving it, I mean, accept that it's a gift from God and be thankful for it. Psalm 68 and verse 19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our suffering. You ever think about that? He loads us down with benefits and blessings every day. We talked about this morning. He gives us way more than we ever deserve. So we need to receive those blessings, recognize that they come from the Lord, and of course show the proper gratitude on His behalf. Now, so far, the first 5 things that we've already looked at here, all of those we could do in probably under 2 minutes. We do all those things every day in less than 2 minutes. So it's not something that's going to just take your whole day. Let's look at the sixth thing there, January 10th. Call on the Lord. Now, I know sometimes this is used in reference to the idea of, whosoever to call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But here we're talking really about prayer. Crying unto the Lord. Calling on the Lord. Psalm 86 and verse 3 says, Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Psalm 88 and verse 9 says, Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Why is it we treat God like a spare tire? We forget He's there. We don't worry about Him until we have a flat. And then, where's the spare tire? And then we realize we don't have one. That gets us in trouble, doesn't it? Get off halfway to Birmingham and don't have your spare tire and get a flat. And you have to, but we do that with God, don't we? It's only when we really have an emergency that we start calling on Him. Why aren't we calling on Him every day? Why aren't we crying unto Him daily? David was a good example of that. The psalmist here said, I'm calling on you every day. Crying unto the Lord. And then January 11th. How about this one? Listen to wisdom. Listen to wisdom. Sometimes we don't do that too well. Proverbs 8 and verse 34 says, this is wisdom speaking through inspiration. The writer of Proverbs, Solomon, writes this down as though wisdom were talking. And there's several things in the book of Proverbs that are written from the perspective of wisdom. It says, Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. And the wonderful thing about wisdom is God has promised to us that if we'll ask Him for wisdom, He'll give it to us. Now, there are not many other blessings that He offers that are that easy. But James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So if we're lacking wisdom, just ask Him. It says He gives liberally. He'll give you a whopping dose of it if you go to the right place to get it. But He warns us throughout the Bible not to get caught up in the wisdom of the world. Because the world's wisdom is not like God's wisdom. We've got to be sure that we go to God to get our wisdom. But we need to listen to wisdom. January 12th, seek God. What about that? Now, you said, you should have put that one first. Well, okay. They're all important things that we need to be doing here. Isaiah 58:2 says, Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. And he goes on to explain a few more things about them. How they're seeking the Lord daily. That's a good thing. Are we seeking God or are we seeking to hide from God every day? Are we hoping He doesn't find us? Hoping He's not seeing what we're doing every day? Or are we seeking out His presence and trying to be in His presence rather than trying to get away from Him? We need to think about that. Then we need to ask God for our needs. Matthew 6:11, Jesus in the model prayer said, Give us this day our daily bread. I think there's an interesting emphasis there on the daily part. We're not asking for God to give us so much stored up that we don't ever have to worry about it again. Because that way we'd forget about it in 6 months and we'd forget that God's the one giving it to us. But if we're asking every day, if we're reminded every day that God is the one providing for our needs, then that keeps our mind where it ought to be. So many times we get the idea that we're taking care of ourselves. Oh, especially, I've got a job. I work for what I've got. Don't you forget it's from God. Everything that we get that's good is from God. We need never forget that. So we need to do that every day. Ask God for our needs, for our clothing, our shelter, for our food, those daily needs that we have. And not just those physical things either. We need to think about our spiritual needs, our emotional needs. All of those things come into account. And then we see, for the 14th, take up your cross. Luke 9:23. Take up your cross. Jesus says, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And there again, that's something we've got to do it every day, don't we? We've got to pick that cross up every morning and carry it. It never goes away. And it doesn't seem like it ever gets much lighter, does it? In fact, sometimes it seems like it just gets heavier and heavier. But Jesus said, pick it up. You follow me. Then we see that we need to be of one accord with the saints. And in Acts 2:46-47, they were actually coming together every day. They were in a situation where it began at a time where there was a big feast, and so everybody was off work. It was kind of a holiday. So everybody was off work, and so they were gathering all together. And they were daily getting together. But we can be of one accord with the saints without being together. We can be of the same mind, of the same spirit, even though we may be some in Meridian and some in the south end of the county and some here and some there. And, you know, we may be all over the place, scattered physically, but we can still be of one accord. And we can still be thinking alike. It says, they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. They met in the temple. Every day they'd get together. And I don't know that it would be a bad thing for us to get together every day, but it would be a difficult thing for many. We all have different work schedules. You know, at that time, everybody pretty much worked the same schedule. You get up in the morning, you got done before it got dark. There was no work in the midnight shift and all of those kinds of things. Because they didn't have so much of the like we have with the electric lights and all those kind of things. They didn't have it, so they didn't have to worry about some of those things that we do. And we need to care for needy loved ones. Acts 3:2, we don't know who these people are, but it says, a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms. Every day, somebody got up and got this guy ready, because he couldn't take care of himself. He couldn't do it himself. Somebody got him ready, carried him down there so that he could beg alms. Somebody cared about this man. We don't know who it was. Don't know, was it a brother or a sister? Was it some friends? Was it his parents? Who knows? But somebody did it. Every day they did it. Do we have somebody that's sick that we need to care about or see about? And again, it may not. It wasn't something that took them the whole day to do. They carried him down there, and then they went on about the rest of their day. I imagine they probably carried him back home at the end of the day. Doesn't tell us that, but we can figure that they did, otherwise they wouldn't have been able to carry him out there the next morning. And it's kind of one of those, we talk about implications, and that's implied in the scripture. If they had to carry him out there every day, then they must have carried him back, or maybe in a different group of people that carried him back in the evening. So it's not that we all alone have to do everything for someone, but we may need to care for someone. We see in Acts 6:1, there was a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. There again, the idea of daily taking care of someone's needs. And we may not have somebody at a particular time that said, well, everybody I know is pretty much helping take care of themselves or somebody else. But what about giving somebody else a break? Let them have a little time off. Go take care of somebody for a little while, 30 minutes or an hour, so they can get a little rest from having to watch them. Then one of the most obvious should be on January 17th, teach about Jesus. We often don't do that, but once in a blue moon, or maybe we set up with somebody, we set up a weekly Bible study. Well, every week we're going to study or something like that. But we need to be looking for opportunities every day. And it doesn't have to be a whole search for truth study that takes an hour. Teaching about Jesus may be something that's just one sentence that we say to somebody about something. Maybe they say something that's not right according to the Bible. Maybe they ask a question and we have an opportunity. It doesn't have to take all day necessarily. But we just, as we have those opportunities, not let them slip by. Say something. Teach something about Jesus. Acts 5:42 says, "And daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach about Jesus Christ." If we're going to share Jesus with people, we're going to have to do it whenever they're available to do it. Whenever we run across them and wherever we run across them. In the temple, in the house, wherever. Then we need to be trying to help the church increase. Acts 16 and verse 5, it says, "So were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." Wow, the churches at that time, they were growing daily. Now, I'm not sure on this wording whether that meant that the number of churches, in other words, there was a new church, the whole idea of the church was new at that time. So did it mean there was a new church springing up in this town and that town, or did it mean that a particular church was growing in number? Could mean either thing. And certainly we know from Acts 2 that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. But what are we doing to help increase the church? To help cause it to grow? Are we doing anything? And we may think about that in terms of maybe each day I say, you know what? I'm going to skip my cup of coffee or my Coke or whatever my package of chips that I buy out of a vending machine or at a convenience store. I'm going to skip that today and I'm going to take that dollar or 75 cents or whatever it was going to be, and I'm going to set that aside for some mission work. Maybe nothing more than that. But that is helping the church to increase. It's helping the church to grow. And there are a lot of little ideas like that that we could come up with to help the church to increase. Maybe it's just going to be calling one of the sister congregations or a member of a sister congregation and encouraging them. You know, we don't want to wake up one day and find out that we're the only church left. I mean, we want our sister congregations, sometimes we think of it like it's a competition or something, but we want those other congregations, we want them to be growing too. It's not a competition, we're on the same team, we're supposed to be working together. So, you know, maybe call and encourage somebody from another congregation. Search the Scriptures. And again, this one ought to be obvious to us, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes weeks may go by and say, "Why, other than church, I haven't even picked up my Bible. Where is that Bible? It's around here somewhere." Acts 17:11, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so." We need to be searching it daily. And then we need to discuss the word. We already talked about that we need to teach about Jesus, but we need to discuss the word. Acts 17:17 says, "Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him." Acts 19:9 says, "But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus." And the indication between putting these two verses together, what I see is that when somebody gets hardened and doesn't believe and they're just being obstinate, it's time to get away from them. But as long as someone is willing to discuss the word with you and they're asking, they may be asking some tough questions. They may be asking some questions that you've heard a dozen times before. But as long as they're honestly asking those questions, as long as they're seeking the answers, and as long as they're willing to go to God's word to find those answers, keep studying. Keep discussing the word with those people. Now, if somebody just wants to be belligerent like these folks here in Acts 19:9, start, you know, they just start speaking evil, and well, that church down there, they just try to brainwash people, and that's, they're a cult and all this, that. Well, okay, well, it's time to leave those folks alone. Go find somebody else. But we need to be willing to be discussing the Word. And we need to discuss it with each other. One of my favorite things, and it doesn't happen every day, certainly, but one of the things I like best is when somebody calls me and they say, James, I was reading in my Bible and I found this, and what do you think that means? I was thinking it might mean this. Do you think that's what it means? I love to discuss the Bible with people like that. That's wonderful. And we need to try to find opportunities to discuss God's Word with people. Then we need to die to self. 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul says, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. Now, I'm cheating a little bit with this one, okay? He wasn't talking necessarily about the idea of denying yourself and dying to self daily necessarily. But it fits wonderfully. I die daily. He was realizing how important the daily aspects of this were. And we need to die daily. Die to self every day. We need to make sure that that old self that we put in that watery grave is still down there and not climbing back out. And if we see as so much as a fingernail trying to claw its way back out, we need to hammer it back down there into the ground. Get it away and make sure that each day we die to ourselves and let God and Christ live in us. Then we need to be concerned about the church. 2 Corinthians 11:28, Paul has been talking about some of the struggles he went through, and he said, besides those things that are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now, I know that Paul, as an apostle, felt this more acutely, more powerfully than all of us will. But are we concerned about the church? Would we care if the church here just wasn't anymore? Would we care if another congregation in our area closed its doors? Several have in the past 10 or 15 years or what. Several, they don't need anymore. They're not there anymore. Does that concern us? Do we have any care, compassion? Do we give any thought to those things? We need to be concerned about the church and what, of course, I can do personally to help the church. We know, of course, that we always can pray for the church. We ourselves can live faithful Christian lives. That's going to help. But what else can I do? What can I do for the church to help it to be stronger? Then we need to exhort others. Hebrews 3:13, and this is one where I find myself falling short a lot of times. How hard is it to just pick up the phone and give somebody a call and encourage them? It's not that hard, and it doesn't take that long. But I find myself a lot of times, it'll be a whole week, and I think, I hadn't called anybody from church to encourage them. Why didn't I call somebody? We need to be exhorting others. Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sometimes folks slip away. You know, it's unusual for somebody to be coming along to church for good and then the next day wake up and say, you know what, I'm going to quit the church. It doesn't usually happen like that. It happens slowly. It's a gradual process. When we start to see that happening, we need to be out there exhorting each other. Encouraging, come on back. Wait now, don't let the devil get you. Don't let the world overcome you and overpower you. But instead, a lot of times, we just kind of watch them go. We may even talk to each other. Well, you know, oh, brother so-and-so, or oh, sister so-and-so, looks like they're slipping away. And we talk to each other about it, but we don't go to them. Encourage them and try to help them. And if we were walking by the pond and saw somebody out there flailing about to drown, looks like old so-and-so is about to drown out there. But that's really what's happening. We've got folks who are about to drown in sin, and we just talk about it. We're going to do something about it. Get out there and do something. And like I said, I know it's so easy, but there's a lot of things here, isn't there? a lot to do. Let's move through the rest of these real quickly. Mourn for the lost. 2 Samuel 13:37, Absalom had fled away, and David mourned for his son every day. And how much did he mourn for Absalom after Absalom was killed? He said, oh, that I had died for thee. We need to mourn for the lost. It seems like in the Bible, it's only the righteous people who are concerned about the lost. The lost people are perfectly happy the way they are. They don't care. But the righteous are concerned for the lost, and we need to mourn for those that are lost. We need to show an interest in others. In Esther 2:11, Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Now, that doesn't mean we go snooping into other people's business. But Mordecai wanted to know how Esther was doing. They wanted to find out, is she doing well? Are things going good for her? Is she going to get to be the queen? All those kind of things. How's she doing? And we should show that concern for each other. Show an interest in what others are doing. We need to beware of evil thinkers. Psalm 56 and verse 5. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are evil against me. There's going to be evil folks out there with evil thoughts. We've got to watch out for them. We need to bless and praise God every day. Psalm 145 and verse 2. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Then the 24th thing that I have on the list there. Don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. It is easy for us to get our hearts hardened, either by sin or by being around people with bad attitudes. It's easy to get our hearts hardened. Hebrews 3:15 and Hebrews 4:7 both say, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Every day is today. So every day, today I'm going to have a tender heart. I'm not going to allow my heart to be hardened. Then we need to remember God's will in our plans. When we're making plans, James 4:13-15, today or tomorrow I'll go do this and do that. You don't know what's going to happen. You ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. We need to remember God in our plans every day. Say, today I'm going to do this. Tomorrow I'm going to do that, such and such. We better think about what God's going to let you do. And then the final one is that we need to be vexed by the sin around you. You say, wait a minute. Vexed is usually a bad thing. But I'll tell you what, it's far worse if you're surrounded by sin and it doesn't vex you. Because that means either your heart is hardened to it or else you've given over to it and it doesn't bother you anymore. 2 Peter 2:8 speaks of Lot. It says, for that righteous man dwelling among them, he's talking about Sodom and Gomorrah when Lot lived there, seeing and hearing vexed his soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Does it bother you when you see people in sin? When you walk in out the grocery store parking lot and you hear somebody just cussing left and right, does it bother you? Does it vex you? We need to think about these things and try to add those things into our lives. There are certainly a lot more things that we could add to our lives, but that'll keep you busy for this month. Once you get that down, you keep it for the next month, and that'll keep you busy too. When we do that, we'll see an amazing difference in our life because our focus is going to shift. We're no longer going to be concerned about the insignificant matters of this world. We're going to start focusing on the more important things. And I know a lot of these things, you could probably do almost all of those things in the list in less time than it took us to read the scriptures and talk about them together tonight. So in less than an hour, you could probably do all of those things every day. And it doesn't have to be, now I'm going to take an hour and I'm going to sit down and do this and this and this and this. Scatter them through the day when you got a free minute. Do one, do another. Some of those things you can do while you're doing some other things. Multitask. as they say. Keep in mind that living the Christian life is a daily activity. It's not over. You don't say, well, okay, well, I came to church this week, so I'm done. It's not it. It's daily living that makes the difference. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation for any reason, I ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.